let's look at what the lesson has to say. I'm just reviewing a little bit that when we closed yesterday, we talked about how Paul had gone to the temple. He'd gotten that temple vision and left right away. But in that temple vision, the Lord had told him that they will not, those Jews will not receive what I'm telling to you. So you get out of town right away. And the quickest exit that he made from any of his Jerusalem visits was right there in Acts 18:22. And after that, he went on a missionary trip. He came back, apostolic missionary trip. He came back to Jerusalem, and they talked him into going into the temple with a vow or whatever. And then some Jews from Asia found him and claimed false claims about him. He got arrested. And in his defense, he tells about the temple vision. And the last part of it there was that he was being sent to the alien Gentiles, to the Goya, the ones that were not okay with the Jews. The Greeks were okay with the Jews worshiping in the synagogues along with the Jews. But because they blessed God and they came to God under the covenant provisions that were made with Israel, but they benefited from it in Genesis 12:3. But if you read Genesis 12:3, what they objected to was the second clause in it. Genesis 12:3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee." Well, the blessing is what the Greeks were getting, but the Jews were looking at that second one. The Gentiles that didn't bless Israel, didn't come to the synagogues, ignored the Sabbath and the law, and ate pork and everything, worshiped their own idols, they were a curse to Israel by their existence. And God said, "I will curse him that curseth thee." And here Paul is claiming that God told him that he's going to save those that cursed Israel. So there was a conflict in their minds. They didn't realize, I don't know that they had any way to realize that God had revealed a mystery to Paul and that it wasn't in their scriptures. By the time of Acts 22, I think that happened. Yeah, Acts 22. By that time, it was way after, years after Israel had fallen, and they just weren't God's means of salvation in the world anymore. And immediately after that, when there was no way to come to God, God saved Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. But the point is, that statement was what they were hearing about God saving, the word came to mind, unruly, but that's not the word. Saving these Gentiles that were not in the covenant, that were not in the promises, not in the commonwealth of Israel. They were aliens. And that was against their scriptures. It literally was. Those Jews were not considering the whole context of the statements, though. They were not rightly dividing the word of truth. They had just recently participated in Israel's leadership's blaspheming of the Holy Ghost, like we said in Acts 7. It would have been a few years earlier. Paul was unforgivable in Israel's kingdom doctrine because of blaspheming the Holy Ghost and speaking against the Holy Ghost. So Paul and those who believed Paul's gospel in order to be saved were being saved in a different way, by a different gospel. It was still by the blood of the cross, but the requirements were different. The conditions. It wasn't like Israel. They had to keep the law, be circumcised, return to Jerusalem 3 times a year, sell all and lay the money at the feet of the... You know, they had all these things. And the important one that they missed, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. risen from the dead. They didn't believe that, and that was their lack of faith that caused them to fall. But that's not what what Paul was saved into. He was saved a different way, still by the blood of the cross, but he had to believe that this was the Jesus, the prophesied Jesus, but that he died for Paul's unforgivableness. He died Paul's death that was due to come to him, his spiritual death. And Paul believed that he was standing in front of him. You know, that means risen from the dead. So it was different. You know, you can pick the, as you go through the account, you can find the different elements of the gospel in Paul's conversion, in Paul's, let me say, salvation instead of conversion. But it definitely was a different gospel, a different way to be saved. Paul distinguishes the gospel that he preaches from the previous gospel. That previous gospel was only to Israel in their rise, as they were rising. Well, they had fallen by Acts 7. And through their fall, salvation came unto the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. And that was Romans 11:11. But as we look in Acts, and this is where the verse list begins. Sorry, that was a lot of review there. Acts 13:26. Paul had said to those Jews and Greeks, to you is the word of this salvation sent. You see, he had to distinguish, he had to declare which, this salvation that he was preaching to them. So Paul is admitting there that it's a different gospel. Paul's gospel of Christ had two qualifiers attached in Romans 1:16. It is the power of God unto salvation. And there are two qualifiers. You have to believe it, to the Jew first, and you have to believe it, and the part of the verse for that is to everyone that believeth. And then it says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Who was it sent to? Was it sent to everybody? It was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It was limited, and we can't hardly imagine that. All our lives, the gospel has always been going to everybody, and the assumption was that it was always that way, but that's an assumption. The Bible says it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the same saving message of the gospel of Christ was eventually preached to us, to all men, not just to the Jews, but with that second qualifier removed. And that's the difference that you see in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. We don't have to go there, but they each end with the statement, according to the Scriptures. Well, the Scriptures did tell that Jesus would die. And in Isaiah, it says he will die for men's sins. Some, the sins of many, actually, are the iniquities of many, I think it is, in Isaiah 53, verse 11. So, but it doesn't say that it's that the Gentiles can be saved by it at all. It was told that he would be buried, but that his soul would not be left in hell. That's, what is that? I get those verses mixed up. I think it's Psalm 16:10, or else Psalm 2:7, but I think it's 16:10. And it was told that he would be resurrected. That's the same quote there, I think. But that same message that saved Paul was no longer sent only to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In due time, in Acts 20, verse 6, it was testified that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Now, that's not when the verse was written, but that's when that was when he was starting to be sent to all people. And when the target audience was widened, then Paul tells us in Acts 20:24, when it was widened to all people, tells us that the name of the gospel was also changed to the gospel of the grace of God instead of the gospel of Christ. Paul was going to be speaking about salvation, And as we look through Romans 13 in this crowd there in Antioch of Pisidia, telling them about this salvation that he was distinguishing to them, in verses Acts 13, verses 28, 29, and 30, we can see he preached about the death of Christ, that he should be slain in verse 28. Verse 29, that he was buried, laid in the sepulcher. And verse 30, but that God raised him from the dead. That's the resurrection. So he preached the death, burial, and resurrection in verses 28, 29, and 30. You've got Paul preaching that to the Jews, still before his sending to all people. And in the synagogue there. So that was early in Paul's remnant ministry, trying to draw out a remnant from Israel into the body of Christ. That's a remnant according to the election of grace, the choice of grace, not the prophetic remnant, Peter, James, John, the little flock. That's different. That's a different remnant, a different small part of Israel. They were believing Israel's doctrine, but when Paul preached, those people were to believe Paul's doctrine. Well, some there was a slight variance in that in 1 Corinthians that we don't need to get into right now, but we'll handle questions on that if we need to. Otherwise, if you're not curious about it, don't worry. So it was the first time that Paul's salvation message was recorded in Scripture, in Acts 13 there. But earlier in Paul's sermon, these three verses that we just went through, he did not comment about what was the purpose for Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In those three verses, Acts 28 to 30, Paul is giving the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogue historical facts that prove that Jesus is the prophesied Christ, the Messiah, so that they could believe on him. They needed to know that he's the one they'd been looking for. And at this point in Acts 13, when we get to verses 32 to 35, Paul is, first of all, preaching the gospel of God, which is the very facts that identify who Jesus is. It's about the name of Jesus, his identity. Look at the verses, Acts 13, 32, and we declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is written, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. This resurrection, this day of resurrection have I begotten. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And you remember in I think it's in the Gospel of God, in Romans 1, 1 to 4, it mentions that he is of the seed of David. He is in the royal line to sit on the throne of David. I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So he was Jesus, he was the Messiah, and he was raised from the dead. That's the gospel of God. That's not a salvation message for us. For Israel, it was only part of their salvation message, but they had already done keeping the law, getting circumcised, all those, that list of things, five or six things they had to do, they had already done, except for the gospel of God, belief in it. And so when they did, that completed the list of things they had to do and believe to be saved. part of that believing it, though, was enduring to the end. So they don't get it really completed until the Lord returns, till the end, when they either when they die or when the Lord returns after the catching up of the body of Christ, after those 7 years then. So, let me get back to my notes here. I'm assuming that we're going through this a lot faster than Paul actually preached it. But he's preached the death, burial, and resurrection. He's preached the gospel of God, facts about who Jesus is. And then in verse 38, he starts and he says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. There's the Greeks and the Jews, men and the brethren. So he's still talking to these men of Israel, his own brethren, himself being an Israelite, and also to those other people among you who were not the Jews, but who feared the God of Abraham. He says that through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, not just the holding off of the punishment of sins until Christ returns to earth after the 7 year tribulation and blots out your sins, according to Acts 3:19. Not that. We get forgiveness, immediate forgiveness. We are forgiven of all sins. So you don't have to endure to the end to be forgiven or to be saved, because you are saved, you are forgiven. So, but before that time and that incident, salvation was of the Jews, back in Acts, up through Acts 7. If you remember in Acts 4, Peter said that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They had one way to come to God then, and it was through the Jews. After they fell, that was no longer a way to God, and they had to come through Paul and the gospel by which Paul was saved. He said, verse 3, I'm trying to think. Moreover, brethren, I declare... No, that's verse 1. Let me look it up here, get it in front of me. Verse 3, he says that he's declaring unto them... He also received it, is what I'm getting at here. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. The way you're saved today is nothing different from the way Paul was saved. It's less dramatic, possibly, but you're saved by the same gospel. The blood of Christ died for his sins, and Christ died for your sins. So, let me get my notes back in front of me. But he says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And Israel's sins will be blotted out when Christ returns. We mentioned that. Acts 13, verse 19, 20, and 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ. Now, don't get confused. This is not talking to you. This is not your part of Scripture. This is Peter talking to the Israelites, the Jews, in the temple and on that Pentecost, later on that Pentecost day. He shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, and whom the heaven must receive. How long is he going to be ascended to heaven before he comes back? Until the times of restitution of all things. That will be when prophecy begins to tick again, begins to be fulfilled again. It's on hold now, right before the 70th week of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. So until the times of restitution, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You can tell that's different than what was kept secret since the world began. That's not the same information and not the same doctrine, not the same program. ours will have ended. We will have been caught up to be with the Lord. And then Israel's 70th week begins after that 7 years. This is what happens. He shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. So at that time, the fountain will be opened up for Israel. Zechariah 13:1 tells us about that. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So, your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's what it's talking about. And this is what Israel had been prophesied all along. It's true for them. That's their doctrine. That's their future that's coming up. It hasn't happened yet, but it will. You can count on it. God said it. But Paul is preaching something different. He's preaching entrance into a different group, actually into a body, the body of Christ. And so in Acts 13, verse 38, he says that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Well, a man has a head and a body. Christ is the head in heaven, and we're the body on earth that believe, we that believe Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, risen for our justification. This man who he described was of the seed of David. He was the promised one. He died, was buried, and raised by God. By this man, by what Paul had preached about him, his death, burial, and resurrection, his the name of Jesus, his identity, by this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And that's how the believer's sins will be forgiven. They are forgiven today. It's still our gospel. As he says in verse 39, by him all that believe are justified. They are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Before Paul, the only way to God that Israel knew was their kingdom program. And that was God's plan for Israel, for the Israel of God, including the law of Moses and having to endure to the end. We can see from Acts 13:39 that Paul introduces another way to be justified besides the law of Moses. By him all that believe are justified from all things. Then he contrasts the two ways by showing their differences, that they're not the same way to be justified. Justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And that's a stark contrast. Paul contrasts on one side justification through Israel's kingdom doctrine and the law of Moses, which incidentally is insufficient, and on the other side justification through belief in Paul's preaching of this man Jesus that God had revealed to Paul and his dying for their sins. So that clearly displays the two ways to be justified as being different. The one justified from all things. The other way did not justify from all things. Israel's way was passing away. It was inferior. The way which was remaining and by which we're saved today is superior. Paul's way. I hope you can see the distinct difference Paul was presenting and has presented. Paul, his doctrine is separate from and not the same as justification by the law of Moses and by Israel's kingdom program, with which those Jews were all familiar and on which the synagogue was based. Israel's kingdom program is all that Israelites had known, you know, until Paul preached to them. And in Acts 13, 38, and 39, Paul contrasts justification through Israel's kingdom doctrine and the law of Moses, contrasts that with justification through Paul's preaching of this man, Jesus Christ, that God had revealed to Paul. Paul was preaching something that was brand new to them, and it wasn't in their scriptures. It wasn't brand new to Paul. It started in Acts 9 when Paul was saved by this gospel. And after Paul was saved, he traveled around and had revelations from Christ for at least those first 3 years. But here we are in Acts 13 already, and to them it was new. It was different from the law of Moses. It was a different gospel. And Paul preached about an individual being justified, instead of talking about the rise of a nation, Israel, and salvation through that nation. He preached about immediate, personal, individual salvation, instead of merely being remitted of one's sins until Israel's future day of atonement when Christ returns. And that Zechariah 13:1 fountain is opened for their sin and uncleanness, as it said. The fountain for sin in Zechariah 13:1 is Israel's. It's about them. It's not about us. It's strictly prophesied about the nation Israel. It specifies that it is for those in Jerusalem. So, Paul preaches that their justification is from all things, not just from each and every individual sin as they are committed. He preaches that their justification is from all things, past, present, and future, not just from all sins, and not just from all past sins, not just from all confessed sins, but from all things. You know, iniquities, transgressions, trespasses, wrongs. You could consider, I guess you could consider sins before the law as being wrongs, although they're called sins even back then. God knowing that the law would come along and it was a going against God, when Cain killed Abel. But going on in Acts 13, let's look at verse 42. Let me get a sip here. Hold on. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, so there were the Jews that were mentioned earlier, and there were some Gentiles that feared God, feared the God of Abraham, and it says when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles, what Gentiles? Well, the Gentiles that were there, the ones that feared God. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. In other words, stick around, don't leave town, preach it again. And then in verse 45, we see it says, but when the Jews... So you've got the Jews again. That would be, as we read through here, it looks like it's more likely the Jews that ran the synagogue that kicked people out of the synagogue when they believed that Jesus was the Christ. But it says, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary. Why was it necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you? They were sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's why. So that's another proof of that statement being true and not being worthy to be ignored. I mean, there are many people that ignore that statement, that it was necessary for the word of God to first be spoken to the Jews and to the Greeks in the synagogue there, the ones that complained that they were getting it, the ones from whom God had to rescue, or as he puts it in Acts 26:18, I think it is, 17, deliver. The Lord had to deliver Paul from. Well, I'm done with this lesson. That's all I've got ready for today.